I'm going to start off by saying a word, and this word for many Catholics is anathema. Horrible, sacrilegious, blasphemous. You got to promise me you will not tell the bishop that I use this word. In fact, sometimes I've said it and Catholics have fallen to the floor and writhed around and foamed at the mouth. So it's a big word. So here's the word, ready? Evangelization. You know, that stirs up a lot in Catholics, I think because we think of evangelical Christians or we think of Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses that go door to door to talk about their faith. And, you know, Catholics, oh, we don't do that. Well, we should be doing that. Remember 2 weeks ago we had this great gospel where Jesus sent out 72 disciples, two by two, to all these villages to literally knock on doors and to proclaim the good news of salvation. It's in the gospel. We can't get away from it. And evangelization is a wonderful word. It simply refers to our call to talk about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. How do people come to faith unless they are told about Jesus? Now, again, Catholics go, well, we don't have to talk about Jesus. We have to just live good lives and people will know it. No, that's not how it happens. Again, the Bible tells us that faith comes through hearing, not just seeing, hearing. So if I don't say to someone, it's all about Jesus Christ, they're not going to get it, even though I may believe it and know it. But I have to tell them the root of my good deeds is Jesus Christ, and that's why I have to do it. So evangelization, and that is our commission, our basic vocation. Every single Christian, not just the Catholics, but our basic vocation is to get the good news out into the world. Not assume that people know about Jesus and have just rejected him or accepted him, but constantly going out, especially to find those who are lost, who are living in despair and hopelessness, to tell them that Jesus Christ is the Lord and the Savior. That's our basic vocation. And especially for you, and I said this 2 weeks ago, the 72 disciples who were sent out were all lay people. Not clergy, not priests, not people in vows, lay people. So are we doing that? Are we getting out into the world to evangelize? Again, that is why God created the church. Not for church buildings, not even for the sacraments, but for the salvation of the world. Now, the sacraments play a very, very important role. But again, how many people really understand in the world why we have the sacraments and how they are connected with the will of God, the desire of God to show us his great love? So evangelization, we got to get to that. Now, many places of the world, they do it automatically. You know, in Western cultures, we have all this other stuff going on. We can, as one person put it, dumb scroll through Facebook, and we get distracted. And so we're not thinking about our faith, because it's our faith in Jesus Christ that saves us. It's not our possessions. It's not this other knowledge that we have. It's about Jesus Christ. So why don't we share that with other people? It's like if I knew the cure for every kind of cancer, and I didn't tell you about it, what would you think of me? Well, that's what we do when we fail to talk about Jesus Christ, who is the cure for everything. It's Jesus, nothing else, Jesus. So I'm going to talk about a very, very easy way of evangelization. And you already may have some of it in place, but we need to push it even more. So here's a quote from a woman who underwent a dramatic conversion experience. She goes, "Hospitality is the ground zero for the Christian faith. Hospitality is the ground zero for the Christian faith." Meaning that it's within the context of hospitality that we can share very simply and easily our lives, our faith, our commitment to Jesus, and welcome other people into it. to welcome other people and take care of them. That's what hospitality is. It's welcoming people, making them feel comfortable, letting them come into our homes and say, ah, sit down. What can I do for you? And we have those stories in Scripture today. In Genesis, we have a beautiful story of hospitality. And it's a two-way story, not just one way. When we give hospitality, we get something back. You know, we may not think of it, but we get a lot back. So Abraham sees these three men. He invites them in. He's hospitable to them. He takes care of them. Wow, now he's the head of the whole clan, but he does the serving so that these three men will feel comfortable and taken care of. What does Abraham get out of it? Well, what did the three men say before they left? This time next year, we will come back and Sarah will have a son. They got a blessing because of their hospitality, a blessing. And again, that's what we read a couple weeks ago when the 72 went out. Jesus said, whatever house you enter, give them peace. Give them peace. What a great gift to allow a person to provide hospitality, and then we can give them peace as a result of that. Abraham got a son. What a great blessing. And then we have the story of Martha and Mary. And of course, we say, well, Martha, you know, she was busy. She didn't really listen to the Lord, but she was hospitable. She did all this work to make sure that Jesus was comfortable, got a good meal, etc. Mary was also hospitable with her whole spirit, just sitting there listening to Jesus. But both women were hospitable. They welcomed Jesus into their home. You know, they didn't rent a hall and say, Jesus, we're going to have a picnic here, but into their very home. And they too got a blessing. Well, the great blessing for them was the fact that they got Jesus in their presence. But later on, we also have the story where Jesus comes to Bethany after the death of Lazarus, and who's there waiting for him? It's Martha this time. She's quietly waiting. And the gift that Jesus gave them was what? Raising their brother to life. A wonderful, wonderful situation. So going back to this woman who had this conversion experience, she admitted that she was not a Christian, not practicing, although I believe she was raised Catholic. But she admitted she was a feminist. She was a lesbian. She was an angry person. And she wrote some kind of editorial, and a minister and his wife read it. And for whatever reason, they got in contact with her, invited her over for dinner. They didn't know who she was. She didn't know who they were, but she took them up. They didn't talk about religion, didn't talk about God, but they provided hospitality. They didn't say, come to church tomorrow with us. No, they provided hospitality. They provided an opportunity for this woman just to be who she was and to share and to share. And eventually, over time, and they went back from one house to the other with dinner, over time, the woman felt comfortable enough and free enough to talk about what was going on in her life. And the minister and his wife were able to talk about their beliefs. And from that came the conversion of this woman, who today, and I believe she lives in Syracuse, who today provides hospitality of that same sort to other people to come to her home to eat together, to share faith together. Very, very simple form of evangelization, hospitality. Again, hospitality is about welcoming people as they are, letting them be, and trusting the Holy Spirit over time to bring out the important issues that people are dealing with. We don't have to say, okay, it's all about Jesus, you got to come to Mass with us. No, we have to be gentle, we have to be open, and again, allow the Spirit to get in there so that person feels that they can trust the individual to talk about their deepest concerns, their deepest needs. And that's where we can come in then and say, well, for us, it's Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you can slap a couple hamburgers or hot dogs on a grill? Some of you can? Well, that's all you have to do. I mean, how many neighbors do we actually know? When was the last time you had a neighbor over for dinner? Or someone you don't know, you just invited them over, and they say, well, why? Well, I just thought you'd like to come over, we can have a chat. You get to know us, we get to know you. But all of us can do that. And what we're doing is we're opening our home, which should always be open to especially people who are searching, to open it to people who, for whatever reason, and we don't know who they are, but may be in need of somebody to listen to them, just to love them, to be concerned about them. How often do we have that listening ear, that people really stop to listen to us? You know, because we have all this stuff in our minds, we're constantly making judgments, we're thinking, this is what I'm going to say in response, so forth and so on, instead of just letting the individual talk about what they want to talk about, and kind of following that through and sharing and asking questions. That's a very easy way of evangelizing, simply asking questions. So the person says, you know, I'm always depressed. Well, how are you dealing with that? Just ask that question and continue that conversation. But again, we have that in Scripture, hospitality as a way of sharing the faith. Not maybe right away in terms of actually talking about our Christian doctrines and beliefs, but as a way of opening up our conversations with people and acknowledging that everyone is my brother and sister. Everyone is to be honored. Everyone has a dignity given to them by Christ. And the more I recognize that, the more I will be open to the Holy Spirit prompting me to be a hospitable, welcoming person. You know, the word hospital comes from hospitality or vice versa. And why do people go to a hospital? To be healed. To be healed. Hospitality includes that healing. And Pope Francis, during the early part of his pontificate, referred to the church as a field hospital. That's what we're supposed to be, a place where people come for healing of all different kinds, maybe being cured of a physical disease, maybe being helped in their spiritual crisis. Doesn't matter. But we are that field hospital. You know, it's not the building. It's you and me. And I said 2 weeks ago that because of the Holy Spirit, we all have certain charisms, certain gifts. Could be physical healing. Could be raising someone from the dead, but we've been given these gifts by the Holy Spirit so that we can function as a hospitable hospital, a place of healing. And can you imagine if the word got out in your neighborhood that you were inviting people over and people said, you know, they were really great. We had a wonderful meal, a wonderful chat. You know, I really feel good about that. People are going to say, when are they going to ask me? And if you don't want to ask them for hot dogs and hamburgers, how about coffee and cookies or something like that? But we have to get out of that mindset that evangelization happens automatically, or it's about priests and brothers and deacons and nuns that do it. No, it's you. It's you. You are those 72 disciples who are sent out to claim the hospitality of others. That's another part of it, too. It goes both ways. We need to put ourselves out there where other people can be hospitable to us so that we can be a blessing to them, bring them peace to their home, give them healing. It goes both ways. So not only to accept hospitality and look upon it as an opportunity for being the Christians that we call ourselves, but also consciously being hospitable, providing opportunities for people to come into our homes and to just sit, to be welcomed, to be treated well, to be honored, to be listened to, which is a great gift. And over time, hopefully people will come to know the Lord. As I say, for this woman in Syracuse, it took about 2 years. 2 years. Sherry Weddle, who founded St. Catherine of Siena Institute, which is all about identifying the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and she wrote a wonderful book called Forming Intentional Disciples. She said it could be 2 years of listening before a person is ready to proceed in their faith journey. Boy, there's the virtue of patience. You know, nowadays, you know, we think, this is again the Catholic approach because we got this great theology, if I explain to them about the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, they're going to get it. No, they won't. It's not automatic. In a sense, we have to show them the reality of Jesus Christ in our words, in our deeds, in our hospitality. Then, as they hear us speaking about our faith, they too will begin to question, what are my beliefs? What do I want? What's my deepest desire? Why am I always restless? And then we can say, well, maybe it has something to do with God. And it does. So hospitality, every one of us, I would say, really is already an expert on it. We know how to entertain. We know how to welcome people into our homes. We know what we want to provide. Martha did that. She got a little bit busy with it. But Mary knew it too. There was that listening presence. And again, when we do that, we receive a blessing and a gift. So again, it's always a two-way street. When we provide hospitality, we get a gift. When we take up other people on their hospitality, they get a gift. And of course, the big gift is us and our desire to be good neighbors, to be good brothers and sisters, to be good Christians. So evangelization, again, it's one of those words where Catholics, I don't want to be like Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, go to door, and I say, I wish we were more like them, because they really believe what they believe, and they want to share it. But we need to kind of move beyond our own, this is the way we do it, and go back to the scripture and see how they did it and how the early church did it, which is quite different from the way we understand the practice of our faith. So as you go forth, think of it this way. You are all part of the hospitality industry in the church. You're all part of the hospitality industry, which we call the Catholic Church. How are you going to be hospitable this week? How are you going to provide an opportunity to be hospitable, to show hospitality? How are you going to push yourself maybe to go beyond your comfort zone and invite a stranger or a neighbor that you don't know real well and say, you know, come on over for a nice tall lemonade or iced tea and just see where the conversation goes. And don't stop there. Don't make a judgment. Well, it didn't work or it did work. But say, good, I did it. I did it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that impulse, for that initiative. Then keep on doing it. That's how we're going to fill up this church. It's not because people know we're here, they know what we believe, and they see all these joyful Catholics, etc. No, we got to show it to them out in the world. We got it all. We do. We have the fullness of faith. But do we believe it enough, trust God enough, to be those hospitable people God created us to be? So again, as you go forth this week, how are you going to show hospitality? How are you going to live it? Because that is ground zero for the Christian faith. The name of this video from which that phrase comes from is, the gospel comes with a house key. Isn't that interesting? The gospel comes with a house key. Do we make sure our doors are all locked and nobody comes? Or do we give the key out freely and say, come on in, come on in? So we have choices to make. And hopefully the choice will be the choice of Abraham, of Martha, of Mary, of those 72 disciples, to practice hospitality and to be a blessing to everyone we meet, and in particular to those we invite into our homes, so that they can be who they are and hopefully come to faith in Jesus Christ.